What do you say on your last Sunday? I've been challenged with that and didn't know what to do other than let's pray and just see what the Lord might guide me to. I look at other, final parting speeches by presidents as they were stepping down. I've looked at other pastors and what they've said. A lot of pastors go to Acts chapter 20 because it's Paul's goodbye, farewell address to a group of elders, knowing he'd never see them again because he's going on to Rome to be imprisoned to spread the gospel and hopeful to get to Spain. But what do I say? I want to preach today, but in many ways, I'm going to sit in your living room, whether you're at home or you're here. I'm going to sit in your living room, and I want to tell a story of God's faithfulness. Because our God is a faithful God. He's a faithful God, and He's a forever God. And so as we sit here today, we can know that He is a faithful God for us right now. He'll be a faithful God for us in the future. And He's a forever God, so He's not going anywhere, so we can trust in Him. Before I get going too much, I want to say a few things so that in case I become a blubbering mess, I've at least got it out there. I love you tremendously. Our family has certainly felt love from you over the years. For some of you, it's been 14 years. For some of you, it's been the last 7 or 8 years that we've known you. And we have felt loved, appreciated, supported, prayed for, and I'm hoping that that will continue. Even though we may be at a distance physically, which that's true right now, we're physically a distance in this world that we live in, but I pray that you would continue to pray for us as we'll be praying for you individually and corporately as a church body. I want to talk about God's faithfulness today. I'm not going to have any slides on the screen. Not any pictures of the past, though there are pictures in my mind and certainly pictures in some of your minds. So if there were two notes you were going to take today, which I always encourage you to take notes, but it's up to you. God is faithful and God is forever. That's my 2 points. Now let me unpack that, and I have no feeling to be obligated to time. I'm not going to keep you here all day, but I just feel like there's a few things I'd like to share. From Scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9 tells us that God is faithful, by whom you are called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. It was in 2002 that our family moved to Georgia with 3 babies and hope that Georgia would be a good place to live. And I tell you what, Georgia is a fantastic place to live. We've enjoyed our 18 years here. But in 2006, we found ourselves in a transition time, not knowing what we were going to do. I literally had over 100 resumes sent out across the nation looking for a place to serve, and I didn't get one phone call. That's an interesting time period when you're not getting anybody to call you back, email you, take your phone calls, or anything. And I'm like, Lord, what are you teaching me here? And then as I sat at a table with Lee Smith and Chip Carter, and we began to consider the possibility of planting a church with no money, no place, and no people. But we thought, what would God do if we did this? I'm not going anywhere because I don't have a job. I picked up a job at Domino's Pizza. So, by the way, if you order Domino's or Pizza Hut or anybody delivers to you, tip them well. They don't make much money, and they might be doing it a second income just to survive. Okay? So we began to work at Domino's, and I sat down with these men, and we talked about the beginning of a new church. In November of 2006, we were convinced that the Lord wanted us to plant a brand new church. We had no idea how long that would last. We had never done this before, so we just trusted in faith that God might do something. And in December, we gathered a small group of people and asked people to join us and commit to prayer, to giving, and if you would commit to 1 year to see if the Lord might bless this. And that small gathering of people said yes. Some of those who were joining us early on 14 years ago, Dwight and Sharon Waldrop, Guy and Nancy Henderson, Harry and Joy Andrews, David and Sandy Stewart, Billy Ruth Jones, who was a member here at North Petrie for many years before she came and joined us there. Vivian Brackett, Pamela Stallings, Scott and Marcy Bowden, David and Lon Grabsky, Josh and Amy Scarborough, Zach and Lauren Watson, Josh and Shana Stringer, and Kimberly Flowers, Pat Hansen, and Jenny Allison, who are here today as well. Phil and Kathy White, Bob and Karen Cassidy, Charles and Maggie Shadburn, Andy and Caitlin Stringer, Paul and Ducksoon Spillers. Carl and Sherry Johnson were at the first meetings. Bruce and Sherry Frick, Elsie Frick, who still attends the Bible study or something on Mondays. Daniel and Marie Leon and their family, Becky Litsky, Carol Carey, Harold and Heidi Lucas, Richard and Deborah Bash, Clay Naylor, Sarah Plott, Nancy Hogue, Wilda Owens, Scott and Gail Swanberg, Eric Swanberg, Chip and Kelly Carter, of course, Lee and Dina Smith, and Jennifer and myself and our families. So people are stepping out in faith to see what God might do. And we saw God's faithfulness to provide. We have more people that can fit in my living room. So where is God going to place us as a church? And when you live on faith, you have nothing else. We just trust in God, and God provided. It was Kimberly Flowers and I that looked at various places to rent. There were a few times late in December that we met at a park, just one of the community centers at a local park. But then we found that the cheapest place to rent was a public school. So we went to Gwinnett County School System and said where we might meet. And there were two places only. You know how many elementary, middle school, and high schools are in Gwinnett County? And there were only two available. One was over in Snellville, Lilburn area, and one was Mason Elementary School, which was a mile from my house. Everybody thought I planned that, but God's faithfulness came through. I could walk to church if I wanted. So we began to meet at Mason Elementary School January of 2007. Lee Smith was the pastor, preaching pastor. I was the Domino's deliverer and took care of the details during the week. Lee Smith took a job with State Farm and began to sell insurance so he could survive, and Chip just did his lawyer gig, and that paid pretty well. And we just saw God's faithfulness to sustain us that first few months. Even had an outdoor event early in March that was nearly 100 degrees in March. Now, that's amazing. We had our first outdoor event, and it was nearly 100 degrees, but we enjoyed every minute of it. And God was faithful to us. The school said that we could stay there for up to 12 months, and then we'd have to be moving out. So throughout that summer months, we were praying, what can God do with us? And by the way, it was cold in the winter in the cafeteria that we were meeting in, and it was hot in the summer because they failed to turn on the air conditioner almost every Sunday. But Nurko, the sweet janitor who would set up for us, he would do whatever he could to bring fans in and love on us. And he would sit in the service. He was not a believer, but he would sit in the service and listen to what was going on. I still pray for Nurko. Then we thought we had a building because we looked at a lot of different buildings to move into, and there was the Burggraf building, and we put a lot of money down to be able to get into that, but found out we had to have a variance from the county. And we began that process for a church to meet in the Berkeley Lake area, but Berkeley Lake had already defeated one church trying to meet in Berkeley Lake. We didn't find this out until after we've already given a lot of money up. And so we were looking at ways to navigate through that, and then decided to walk away from the Burggraf building. And the owner was gracious enough not to hold us to the three-year contract that we had signed, and we never spent one day in that building. And then we thought, Lord, what are you going to do? Our money's disappearing faster than we're bringing it in, and we're trying to minister to people, but we don't have a place to call home. We couldn't do anything during the week because we were only meeting in a cafeteria on Sunday morning. But 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3 tells us, but the Lord is faithful. He will establish you, and he will guard you against the evil one. So we just knew God would take care of us. It was in late August, early September, that I was on Craigslist actually looking for some musical technology equipment for us in the church. We just need to add some things because we were borrowing some people's, but we need to replace it to have our own that we could travel with. And as I was on Craigslist, not only did I find some sound equipment, it was connected to a church building that someone was wanting to get out of their lease, and they would give us not only the sound equipment if we took over their lease, they would give us all of their chairs, which were 200 plus chairs, they would give us their projectors, they would give us their sound booth and the building and everything. I called Harry Andrews. I said, Harry's a great businessman and a great supporter of the church. I said, Harry, there's a building that we could take over the lease. Would you go with me to look at it? We went over there. We met with one of the deacons who was tied to the lease. Unfortunately, the pastor had been unfaithful to his wife, and some bad things happened. So he left. The church left and connected to, you know, the lease was connected to this young man's, you know, a business account, and he was not of any means. And so he's saying, if you would just come take over the lease, and we'll give you everything. And I said, Harry, let's pray about that. Okay, let's go ahead and get that. Harry's a dreamer like I am. He says, let's just do it and let's see what God does. And sure enough, we went to, called Lee, called Chip, and then that Sunday at the Mason Elementary School, I said, this is our last Sunday here. Next week, we're in our own building that God has provided. God is faithful. God is faithful. So people came. We cleaned up that building. I remember Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday. We came in and did as best we could to clean it and prepare it for Sunday, and we sat in our own chairs that next week. And we had air conditioning. That was good. But where do we go from there? We moved into that 8,000-square-foot warehouse on Peachtree Industrial Boulevard, right across the street from Shane's Barbecue in Nortec Office Park. We were in the far back. And we grew. Some people even found us in a warehouse way in the back. And we were outgrowing our space. And we started thinking, well, what's the Lord going to take with us now? And then the landlord, who knew we took over the lease, was wanting to, you know, stick us with a higher amount lease and all. And then, but he saw that we were actually faithful in paying our lease every month. And then he called me one day and he says, Chris, I really appreciate what you guys have done. You bailed us out from the church who was walking away. And I see that you've been growing in your church, and you're doing really good. And this guy is as secular as the day is long. I tried to share the gospel with him, and he was cold. But he warmed up, at least in our relationship, and he said, Chris, I've got another building on that same campus that will give you about 5,000 square feet if you'll just be willing to move over. I said, well, we can't pay any more than we have now. And Harry got involved a little bit, and then Harry actually said to me, he says, you need to learn how to negotiate on your own, so I'm not going to be in those final meetings. And I loved Harry's negotiating tactics. He could buy, you know, a $50,000 car for about $5,000. I don't know how he did it, but he would just do those kind of things. He was an incredible negotiator, but I'd watched him, and then he, kind of like I'm his son or grandson, he says, now it's you're going to do it. So I sat down with the guy from the leasing office, and I just basically said, we can't pay anymore. And quite frankly, we ought to get a cheaper rate if we're getting more square foot. I want to pay less per square foot. So we're basically going to end up paying the same. And we got it. God was faithful. And that's what turned me on to negotiating. So if you ever deal with me now, I'm not ever satisfied with the first offer. But God was faithful. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. There are times when you just lack faith, and you're like, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how it's going to work out. I don't know if I have enough. And you know what? That's in a position of faithlessness. I mean, we don't have faith. But God never changes. He is faithful always. That's a principle for life. Even when you're struggling, you think, I just don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what I can do. Even in those days when you're weak in your faith, God remains strong. Just trust him. And God provided. After we moved into that building, and even in the second building, we knew that we needed to be a part of a larger body. We had already joined the Georgia Baptist Convention, but we had not done much with them yet. But we were growing, and the Georgia Baptist Convention was actually saying, hey, look, you're one of the fastest growing small churches in the state. You've got the 11th fastest growing small group system in the state, you know, per capita and all. It's just amazing. And we need to have some local partners. So we began to look for an association. There was a Gwinnett Baptist Association, but then there was also another association that seemed to really be into what we were into. Local missions, ministries that are going on here, church planting, That was the AASBC, the longest name ever, the Atlanta Association of Southern Baptist Churches, which North Peachtree was leading in, and Dr. Tony Romans was the director of missions at the time that we were going to join. And so we decided to join the association to work with other Baptist churches in the area. So I went to lunch with Dr. Tony Romans. I went to lunch that day with Ken Keyes and got to meet them, heard their vision and mission. We ate Mexican food down here on Savoy, and it was great, and they paid, so I thought that was wonderful. I'll go ahead and join the association. And so we were invited to join by coming to the annual meeting that they had in this building that year. We came to that meeting, and I stood right here at this pulpit, and I shared the vision of Christ Church of Metro Atlanta and why we wanted to partner with all the other Baptist churches. And they accepted us. At that time, at that particular meeting, actually, not only did we join the Atlanta Association of Southern Baptist Churches, which later became GABN, which is the worst name ever, and I'm recording that intentionally, Greater Atlanta Baptist Network, but GABN just sounds weird to me. But at that meeting, I met Danny Gordon. Danny Gordon knew that we were a new church plant, and he says, and you got your own building. If you ever need telephone placed in your building, you call me. I said, we just moved into a second building. We need telephones, and he came over and did it for free. Danny's the greatest guy in the world. He'll do anything. At that meeting, I met Nancy Kingston. Nancy Kingston was the director of the Atlanta Pregnancy Resource Center. She was a member of this church. I also got to meet, not at that meeting in particular, but as we got involved as Christ Church, we got involved with the Pregnancy Center, got to meet Daphne Harris-Nicely, who was the receptionist, but also the assistant, and kind of did far more than she got credit for. I joined the board of the Pregnancy Center, and while I was on that board, we always struggled for money, but we prayed, and God provided. And then when Nancy was going to step away, retire, we prayed as a board who might take over, and I was the very first one to say, I think Daphne should take it. She knows more than anybody here, and she has a love and care for the Lord and for the people who walk into that door. And she became the director even after I rolled off, I think. I can't remember exactly the timing of that. Let me just say another thing about Daphne. We've had a long relationship in these 13, 14 years, and you've been incredibly welcoming. As she's transitioned out of the APRC, and now she's the director of the Morning Center of Atlanta, and we now house that on our campus, and it's opening its doors within weeks. We had our open house right before COVID, and now as we're progressing through this time period, we're going to be ministering to women on this campus and their healthcare needs, not only for pregnancy, but just taking care of them with real medical doctors and real professionals who can love them for free. And you have opened your doors for that. Move Jim Jennings' class and some of the classes, Bill Hodges' class, away from that wing so we could open it up to serve the needs of our community. I met Chris Fowler at that time at that AASBC meeting, and Chris and I struck up a good relationship. Chris Fowler was the associate pastor here. I'm not quite sure all of what he did, but he certainly was a godly man, and I loved his family. And Chris and I just began to have lunch to encourage one another as sister churches. This is where I was introduced to Yero Yero. Anybody ever been to Yero Yero? All seven of you? You guys are in sin. I'm going to tell you, Yero Yero is a great place to go eat. Peter is a fantastic business owner and cook. And it's 1 mile from here, right? If you know where Walmart is, just at 1 mile, it's across. Don't go across the street to Maximo's. You come to this side and go to Yero Yero. Because Peter, who owns that, I want to shout out for Peter. Peter, who owns that, opened it up about a year before we merged together. So as Chris and I were beginning to get to know each other, I'd go up to Yero Yero and fell in love with Peter and been praying for him, and he knows it. Built a great relationship with him over the last 8 years. His business has grown, and he asked me about the church all the time, and I asked him about Yeros and if he's going to give me one for free. But we built a relationship. But it was during that time period of me knowing Chris Fowler, Chris comes to one of our luncheons, and he said, Dr. Tony Romans has left. And I'm like, oh, okay, so will you be the pastor? And then, through God's providence, God took Chris to Statesboro to become a pastor. I was one of his references. But I asked Chris, I said, what's going to happen to North Peachtree Baptist Church? I'm going to, we'll be praying for that sister church. I want it to do well in this transition. He goes, I really don't know. And this was never on my radar screen. God is my witness. I never wanted to merge a church, never thought about it. But God impressed upon me with us having just celebrated our fifth year anniversary as a church plant, which is almost unheard of. 90% of church plants die within 3 years. And we were at our fifth year anniversary, and we had a couple hundred people show up to that event. That was a fantastic event. But then after that meeting, and I had just gone to, right after that, I went to a meeting over in Woodstock where, Gary McIntosh was speaking. He's written a lot of books on church planting, on church growth, and church things, and he was speaking on church mergers. And that had been an impression upon me, and I went to this, and I talked to Gary, and I said, you know what, God's been impressing upon me of this church merger. I haven't told a soul yet, but what if Christ Church and North Petrie could come together for the good of the whole community? And so I asked Chris about it, and he says, I don't know if that'd work. I've never done that. I said, me neither, but, you know, God is faithful, so if God's in it, he'll make it happen. If God's not in it, we won't do it. And so I said, well, who's on your pastor church team? And I said, give me the chairman of your pastor church committee and give me chairman of deacons. And I don't remember who was who at the time, but I do know I met with Jeff Mitchell and Anton Coy in the conference room to pitch the idea. Tell them, if this is in God's will, great. If it's not, great. We'll be sister churches and we'll work together. And they were very gracious men, and they said, we'll take the information and we'll talk to our leaders and we'll see. Then it progressed, obviously, and out of the deacons of North Peachtree, they got together kind of an inquiry committee or something, and we put together our elders, and we began to talk through it and just seeing God's faithfulness in those conversations. It would be a challenge, no doubt. Two congregations, two church polities, government structures, two cultures, but what would it look like? Could we be better together? And we began to talk and pray over about a nine-month period to see, is God in this? And both congregations voted to affirm that vote. It wasn't 100% vote for either church. That told me that God was probably in it. We saw God's faithfulness in merging two congregations. You can even read, there's an article on the Christian Index website about it. They've got a picture of all of us and what's happened that day. We came together. We saw God's faithfulness in becoming one church for a season until we changed the name to Crossroads Church of Dunwoody. I believe it was Fran Brizendine that submitted that name. We had 117 names submitted for the new name and voted out every one that I voted for. End up with Crossroads. But I was satisfied, and that was good. Our elders at that time were Chip Carter, Dwight Waldrop, Bob Cassidy, and then we elected two more elders, Jim Jennings and Ken Keyes. And these men have served faithfully. Pray for Ken, by the way. He has had incredible health challenges over the last couple of years, and he is basically homebound now. And I love Ken. Sorry that he can't be here. At that point, we began to focus on a three-mile radius. I told you at that time we had 90,000-plus people in a three-mile radius. We're a very dense area. We got a lot of people. And well more than half are unaffiliated with any religion or church or any kind of mosque or anything. So that means there's a lot of lost people. But the church believed this was a good giving church at North Peachtree, and Christ Church was good givers, and we said, how can we give financially and give our time? And we began to see some inroads into the community, and we became, actually for the last, we've been together 7 years, at least for six of those years, we've been in the top 5% giving per capita to missions in the Southern Baptist Convention. God is faithful, and you have been very faithful in your giving and prayers. Thank you for that. Yes, giving praise. We began to go door to door. Some of you remember those days. Some days those doors would shut in our face, and others were kind of receptive. But they found out there was a church here with a new name, but the same God and the same love. We began skate nights again. Leon Hopkins is quite a roller derby kind of guy, and Leon helped us start up that skate night. Even got some new skates from a rundown skate rink somewhere down south. We added I-9 Sports along the way. We began some renovations on the building, throughout the campus. We started with the gym. We moved into the chapel. We repaved the parking lot. So thankful for that. We renovated part of the school building, the office area, the third floor of the Love Building, the worship lobby, and eventually we renovated in here. The building looks fantastic. We even had some unexpected renovations along the way, you may recall. We had a major flood into the gym area. Had to replace the carpet we had already renovated, you know, and put down new carpet. We had a flood in there. And once in a while, that still happens again. We also had a young lady in her 20s, or actually she's 20 years old, who passed out while driving from Tilly Mill towards the church, taking a left onto Peeler, lost control of her vehicle, missed the big sign miraculously, and then went right into the air conditioning and into the building right behind me. Y'all remember that? We ended up on the news. You know, that was amazing. That girl was having some struggles personally. She was in a stage of rebellion, and I'm not afraid to tell you that because I've had many conversations with her since then, and I've been praying for her. And let me just give a good report. She is doing well. She's getting her life on the right track. I mean, I went to court with her one day just to testify on her behalf. She's getting her life right, and she has a brand new baby that was born just about 6 weeks ago. Healthy, just beautiful, and she's getting her life back on track with God. She's got a godly family that members of Johnson Ferry Baptist Church, but she is doing the right thing. And though it was difficult losing her car, it was difficult that she ran into our church, I think God brought her here that so she could begin to see some life turnaround and see the grace of God and the faithfulness that God never failed her. We began to do missions locally and globally. We've sent people to Honduras, China, Guatemala, Kenya. Anybody been to Kenya? Got a few out there that have been to Kenya. It was at that meeting of the AASBC when we joined as Christ Church. I stood up here and joined the association. Well, the guy who followed me, his name was Joseph Wamutitu. I'd never met Joseph, but he was fiery. He brought it, and he says, we have this new church. I can't, you know, imitate his accent, and I know he's going to be watching later. But Joseph just, he excited me. He loved the Lord, and he wanted to reach people, and then so after he got done speaking, we both met in the back, and I introduced himself, and I said, I'll take you to lunch. I want to know your story, and found out he had got saved when he was 20. He planted a church. God had just had his hand on this man, and they planted new churches and other churches. They've got 13 churches in Kenya now under his leadership. They started an orphanage 20 years ago, or maybe it was 10 years ago. I can't remember the timing, but they started an orphanage help children who've lost both their parents to AIDS. The healthcare system in Nairobi, Kenya is awful, and people are getting AIDS and didn't even know it or didn't understand it or even how they contracted it, but education is far better now. But he wanted to love on those kids, and they started an orphanage, the Africa Hope Center. Heard all of that night that we joined the association, and I said, man, I want to partner with you in any way we can. I don't know if we have much money as Christ Church, but one day God's going to make it possible for us to support the Africa Hope Center and go to Kenya to meet those kids and to minister in those churches. I was 3 years early on that, and then God fulfilled that. When we merged, God made that possible. And many of you have gone to Kenya, or you've prayed for some of the orphans, you've sponsored them, and I have one of the dearest relationships with Joseph Wamutitu. He's a lifelong friend. I hope to go back someday to Kenya. Since coming together, we've sent students to Indiana, Tennessee, South Carolina. We've taken our younger kids to Center Kid, a couple of places. We've collected hundreds and hundreds of boxes of Operation Christmas Child shoeboxes annually. We got to start a Hispanic church. We adopted a Vietnamese church as they moved into our building. I'm so glad to see you guys today. It's been a challenge with COVID. We've helped three church plants. Chris Skinner started the church years ago. Will Pratt took over a church that we started or helped start. And then Chris Harrington, we're supporting right now as a church planter. We welcomed the Atlanta Morning Center here on our campus. And thank you, Daphne, for your incredible leadership. Daphne and I videotaped for the Georgia Baptist Convention the other day just a little promo about what's taking place over there and what's to come. And that's going to be promoted all throughout the state of Georgia. They'll have a longer version, but basically, you know, there's a three-minute version, and hopefully more churches will not only contribute, but maybe replicate what we're doing here in their city and their church. So excited that we could be a stimulus to God's movement in Georgia in this way. Throughout the time we've been here, we've seen God expand our academy all the way through 12th grade. Of course, that's always been a challenge, but Jamie Moore has led faithfully for many years. Todd Slade led for a while. I took over for a while, and now Danny Thomas serves faithfully for our academy, K through 12. Others, and I'll forget some people, but I wrote down a few names as they were coming to mind, others who've sacrificially served over these years. Andre Reese, thank you for your friendship and for your service. I found him when he was living in an extended stay, not sure what his life would be like in the future, but boy, God has had his hand on Andre. Bobby Smith changes my sign every week, and he served in many other ways for this church. Thank you, Bobby. Michael and Carol Barlow. I think there are five Carol Barlows, and we're only seeing one at a time because every time I turn around, there's another one. She gets around faster than anybody I know. Billy and Fran Brizendine. Mike Fiddler joined our staff, and he has been a tremendous blessing. It is a blessing to me and a blessing to you. Mike helped me get into ministry, and I'm thankful that I got to serve with him. Who can say enough for Chuck and Don and all that they've done for the church? For Anjan and Pam Coy, dear friend Joanne Adams, Francis Weld and Louise May, Don and Jean, and Bill and Betty Hodges, and Bill and Jane Harrison, what they've been doing, and Ted Dame. Ted, thank you so much for just your consistency of providing that mountain experience for us every year, and just the encouragement you give along the way. Newer members that have joined us, Todd and Kathy Cannon, and Everett and Deborah, thank you for your friendship and support and prayers. Sandra Chapel, David and Aaron Greenberg, I saw David earlier. David, thank you for your service in the church. I know God, the Lord's taking you to a new place because you got a new house downtown, but I hope that you're blessed, and thank you for all that you've got, you both have done. Bev and Dorothy Smith, Anna and Ian, did I see them walk in? Yeah. Thank you, guys, once again. Thank you for being here and what you've done. Max and Sandra Darnell, I mean, just so many, and I know I've forgotten. Thank you. We have done ministry together in God's faithfulness, and he has blessed. But not only did we see God do some things like that, but we also saw God's faithfulness through personal challenges. Over the last 7 years, we've seen some incredible challenges in lives and families here. About a year after the merger, Kelly Carter was diagnosed with stage 4 ovarian cancer. Chip stepped down as a worship leader. Stepped down as an elder to focus on his family, did the right thing. But I'm thankful I can say today that through the most challenging days they ever experienced, God brought healing. God was faithful. You know, that same year she got ovarian cancer, they also added an appendage to their family. A wonderful, bouncing baby boy. Got him in about March. She got cancer, diagnosed sometime in November, I think, had surgery in December. And Grayson has been a tremendous blessing. And if you don't believe so, just follow Chip on social media. You'll hear daily reports about Grayson. But God was faithful even through the personal challenges. Daniel Leon had struggled and suffered with sickle cell anemia for basically her whole life. Leon family prayed for a cure, and eventually a bone marrow transplant was proposed. And as their family was tested, they got about 50% match in the family. As I heard that, and we even had the organization come here to test to see if any of us could be a match. Anything would be helpful. I was down there. I did whatever they asked me to do to see if could I be a match. And I'm a white guy with white hair, and I knew I wasn't going to be a match, but you never know what God can do. But I told Marie, and Marie reminds me of this once in a while, and I'm thankful for it, because I just knew that 50% match was okay. It would do it. But we have a God who is able to give a 100% match. So let's pray for the 100% match and not settle for less. And God provided a 100% match by an anonymous person way up north. And Danielle is sickle cell free today. Now, she's not pain-free. She's got other issues. But God has healed her from sickle cell anemia. We've seen through the personal tragedies and struggles, God was faithful. I'm thankful for that. I'm going to go eat some Haitian hash tonight over at their house. Got to get the real stuff. You know, we walk together through these years through pain of loss of jobs, loss of finances, some loss of marriages. And there's been a loss of a lot of loved ones. It's a tremendous list of people who we've lost that were members here or those related to you outside of our church, but it impacted you. God brought many faithful saints home and some that we just never expected. There were spouses that were lost, parents, siblings, children, even grandchildren that were lost to death. Those were painful days. But God was faithful. He was faithful to give comfort. One of the biggest blows to me after we merged, and of course Kelly got cancer, Harry Andrews passed away unexpectedly. I was at a youth event on a Friday night. I got a call that Harry went to the hospital. They had just gone to a restaurant. And he was in the hospital for, I don't remember, 10 days, 2 weeks, something like that. And then he went into heaven. A tremendously felt the pain of that loss. And I pray for joy all the time. But I know God had Harry as a part of my life for a reason. I learned far more from him than I ever got to thank him for. Virginia Harcrow died. Bill Weldon, there was quite a man. I love Bill. Francis, I love you. Where's Francis? Is she here today? Love Bill. Bill was a hilarious guy. You just have to listen to him long enough. And even through his challenges, he wanted to take me to a restaurant. His favorite. It didn't work out that day. We went somewhere else. But, man, Bill was quite a guy. I'm glad I got to know him before he graduated to heaven. L.C. Orr lived just down the street behind the church where the missionary house was. Spent some time with L.C. and his wife. Gene Goff passed away. Marie Powell. Tony Mitchell. One of the most faithful men I've ever met. Just even through his pain, he had a smile. He'd sit out there and do what he could until he couldn't do it anymore. And, Laura, I love you. And thank you for allowing me to be in your life. Laura got mad at me one day, and she was never going to come to church again. When I heard that, I said, that will not be satisfactory. I'm going to go negotiate a deal. And I went over to Laura's house and Tony and most loving, sweet people. You know why they got mad? Just because they love this church so much, and they didn't want me to mess it up. But I sat down and loved on them for a while. They loved on me, and we prayed, and we built a friendship. I miss Tony tremendously. I was at a deacon's meeting one Sunday night as we were talking about what we were going to do with our music. Because Chip wasn't able to come back to serve us, and we had had some fill-ins for a while. And so then we even talked about a style change. And in the middle of that meeting, when I didn't get to hear what the outcome was going to be, I got a call that B. Allen's husband, James, had just passed away. And I stepped away from that meeting that night, and I went and spent time with B. And all that was taking place there. And God was faithful to love be through that situation until she moved to Virginia, not too far from where we're going. Naomi Overby passed away. Walter Howard, a faithful man of God, Alabama fan, and it annoyed me, but he gave out the bulletins. He parked his little truck over here. And Bobby Nicholson. Very first Sunday, and I don't have too much more, but very first Sunday, certain people just really impacted me. The very first Sunday we were merged in June, I walked in early like I do every week. Nobody else is in here. Maybe the band is practicing, and there was a man sitting about where the Brizendines are sitting back there in their beautiful green and blue shirts. There was a man sitting back there named Ben Winiger. I introduced myself. I had no idea at that moment that Ben hadn't been in church in years. I had no idea that Ben's wife had just passed away about 2 weeks prior. Some of you knew Ben Winiger and his wife. And Ben became a dear friend. Ben was now a widower. He had some time on his hands, and he needed some friends. And he would come up to our office almost daily just to sit in the lobby and talk to whoever would talk to him. And even if nobody talked to him, he'd just sit there because somebody would be coming through the door pretty soon. He would talk to Donna, Betty Luther. He'd talk to Monica, who was there, or Joanne, or just whoever was in the office, and I'd talk with him well. And we built a great relationship, and my boys would go over and play pool at his house, and he'd give them a Coke or whatever, and it was painful to me when I was with Jennifer and Nehemiah taking him to college, and while we're on the campus, I get a call that Ben had just died. But Ben, he loved you, he loved this church, he loved God, he loved whatever he could put his life into. We lost Ben that year, and, you know, also lost Betty Luther. Betty Luther was one of the most faithful servants of Christ this church has ever had on their staff. I don't know how many pastors she served through and even heard that she took some time off and came back, and I'm thankful she didn't quit when I first got here, because I tell you what, Betty has all the knowledge, and if she wrote a book, half of you'd go to jail. Betty was a sweetheart. You know, she loved Snoopy, and she had this clock in her office that would chime every hour with a different bird. Anybody ever heard her bird clock? Later on, when we moved Donna out of the Betty Luther office, we just named that the Betty Luther Conference Room, because that's where Betty lived her life and served faithfully, and I loved Betty. Joan Lee passed away that same year. Joyce Grover. Bo Bonds, if you remember Bo and Doris, both of them passed away. Royce Engel, golly, we had just gone to graduation, for high school graduation for my son. And Royce Engel passed away, and Linda was just broken. Love Linda. Liz Hoatland passed away, and Bob Shannon. Fern Strickland, now Fern's quite a lady. Got to know her well. She hated me and loved me, and we got along pretty good. Orrene Trow, one of the dearest, sweetest ladies. Carolyn Rice. Lon Foster, Maria Pareto, if you remember Pastor Hector, his wife had passed away. John Castleberry, he was a guy who stumbled upon our church and started attending on Sunday nights. He passed away about a year ago, sometime after he left us. Betty Black, a great servant of the church, who I got to meet way before we came to North Peachtree, because she knew Billy Ruth Jones. Saw her in the hospital. Fatima passed away, one of our Spanish members. James Dismuke, Margie's husband. One of our dearest friends here too, Connie Gordon, did her funeral just a little over a year ago. Nancy Hope passed away. Dorothy Parker, Dot. Billy Ruth Jones, who'd been gone for many years from us, but she passed away. Vera Bailey, great servant of God. And Dick Weeks, not too long ago. And then the very first person that we baptized at Christ Church, after 50-plus years of prayer that he would get saved, was Guy Henderson. Very first man in his mid-70s gave his life to the Lord at Christ Church, and our very first person that we baptized. And Guy just went to be with the Lord just weeks ago. Lamentations 3:22-23 says, steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. In my closing thoughts, I just want to say this. God is always faithful every morning. Where do we go from here? There were people here before us. There will be people here after us. But the Lord is still faithful to us every single morning. His faithfulness is good. Tomorrow, he's just going to be just as faithful as he was yesterday. Through all these stories, there are going to be new stories to add to his faithfulness. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. God is forever, therefore his promises are forever. When I moved to Georgia in 2002, I brought three little kids with me. Now, all three of those kids are going off on their own now. We got one in California and two are going to college. And when we move from here, we're going to take the six left children that were all born in Georgia. They've never had a move outside the state, and now we're going to take them with us. When I came to Georgia, I had a gallbladder. I'm leaving without it. this is what I find in the scriptures that give me hope for tomorrow, for you and for us. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? He's not changing. He's the same God we can call out on and see His faithfulness. In John chapter 14, verse 16, He will give you a helper to be with you forever. God is forever, and what He's given us is the Holy Spirit forever. The same Holy Spirit that's been with us through all these years is the same Holy Spirit will be with us until we see God face to face. This is where I have hope about in the future. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 25, but the word of the Lord remains forever. If there's anything that would honor me the best here is that I wanted to present the word of God unadulterated, unhidden. I just wanted to present the Word of God because it's the only thing that will last in our lives. And I wanted to present that to you. And I pray that it has impacted you, that you read the Bible more, that you want to know God more through the Bible. It's forever. I'm not forever. The Bible is forever. In Romans chapter 11, verse 36, from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be glory forever. Amen. Thank you for allowing me to serve you. Thank you for allowing me to intersect in your lives. Thank you for praying for us, supporting us, even challenging us at times. Thank you. It has been a pleasure. I am not dying today that I know of. I'm still alive tomorrow, God willing. We can still pray for one another, encourage one another, see each other on social media or call one another. But as I close out my time, I'm thankful that God is still among us and He will work through us. Would you pray with me and then let's sing one last song together as we conclude our service. Father, I'm thankful that You are the God of faithfulness. God, You receive the praise and the glory. You are the faithful one, and we give all of our allegiance to You. Your word is sufficient, your spirit is powerful, and You will sustain us and even help us to thrive in the days ahead as Crossroads Church, as the Jordan family, as individuals represented here. I pray that You would give an incredible blessing to every person. And until we all see each other once again reunited in heaven, may You just continue to accomplish Your will in our lives. In Jesus' name.